Our second reading comes from the book of John, chapter 6. Hear the word of God through these words. As we join this reading, Jesus and his disciples have just come from feeding thousands of people. John says 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. Afterwards, Jesus goes away to be alone. So when the people saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Creator sent his seal." Then they said to him, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent you, whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me shall not hunger. The one who believes in me shall never thirst." Alleluia, amen. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. It is fun for me to be back here today. I say back, it's been a long time since I've been with you, but I know you. I don't know every single person in the pew, of course not. But I know you because you're old first. So as has been pointed out, a little too much. I was a parent, I was a reluctant member, I was an elder, I was called, I was under your care, I gave my very first sermon here, I was ordained in this sanctuary, and I even came back and served here for a year in the position that Erwin holds now. When I began preparation for today, I was excited about talking about bread. And why not? It's a beautiful, complete, sensual symbol for life. Food for the body and food for the soul. It speaks of love and memory and holiness. Each of us can easily imagine the complex, yeasty aroma of bread baking. The initial tang giving way to welcoming, warm, savory, steamy wafts. Imagine all the different kinds of bread you have eaten in your lives. No food says I love you more than bread. Long before Jesus walked the earth, God has been giving the children of God daily bread. Melchizedek greeted Abram with bread and wine. The prophet Elijah prayed for death in the wilderness, but was aroused by an angel delivering hot cake, bidding him to rise and eat. One of the most amazing miracles of the Hebrew Testament is the feeding of the people of Israel in the wilderness with bread, manna that rained from heaven. And the prophet Elisha was able to feed 100 men with 20 barley loaves. Did you know that in the ancient temple of Jerusalem, there were 12 loaves of bread in the Holy of Holies, in the inner sanctum, 12 loaves of touchable, tastable, tangible bread set in two rows on a table of pure gold. And every week, this bread was baked fresh and replaced. I was ready to talk about bread today. But then I read the lesson again. Today's lesson is not about bread. You know, that would be like pointing to the mosaic of Jesus up there and talking about my hand and my finger. The bread only points to Jesus. The bread tells us that life through Jesus is that life that is described in the Ephesians passage, a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, a life bringing your own particular gifts together for the good of all. Bread is easy. Jesus is not so easy. Many years ago, I heard a former moderator and medical missionary of the United Church of Canada, Dr. Bob McClure. He described a curious phenomenon encountered in Asia. It was something called rice Christians, and it was not a complimentary term. Rice Christians were people who were hungry and who came to the mission stations and the hospitals in search of food. In famine, of course, that's quite understandable. In any case, these people would convert to the Christian faith, be baptized, and keep on coming for food supplies. But when their material situation improved, they would disappear. The same thing happened in East Germany and Romania as the Iron Curtain began to fall, because the churches were showing courage in standing up to the crumbling regimes, and pastors were speaking that truth to power, speaking out against the government. People flocked to the churches. They packed the pews. People came to cheer the church on and to join the congregation in their opposition to their tyrannical government. And then we hear the words of Scripture. So when the crowd realized he was gone and wasn't coming back, they piled into the Tiberius boats and headed for Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him back across the sea, they said, "Rabbi, how did you get here?" Jesus said, "You've come looking for me because you saw God in my actions, because I fed you, filled your stomachs. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your life, brings lasting life, food that the Son of Man provides." These are the things that God offers. So this idea of people cozying up to the church and Jesus out of fear, the idea of people coming to God for selfish, immediate gratification, it's as old as this scripture. Those people followed Jesus to Capernaum because they were stunned by his feeding of the 5,000. You can be sure that once people heard the story, Others got curious and started to look for this fellow called Jesus. After all, someone who could apparently conjure up food was someone to get close to in time of hunger and famine. It was pure self-interest that was driving those people. What they saw was the miracle as an end in itself. They didn't see what it was intended to be, a sign of God's presence in the world, an issue of invitation. And Jesus makes it clear that it is not the physical signs which matter, but what the signs point to. The bread of life, which will satisfy hunger and quench thirst. We forget. Even as a church, even as a congregation, we forget what really matters. We invite people to church for all the wrong reasons. For the right kind of worship, for political engagement on behalf of the poor and the downtrodden, for the chance to go on a mission trip. But what we offer is really not that. It's more. It's deeper. It's food for the soul. It is God's justice and God's peace. And it's not easy. Go back and read those words from Ephesians. It's not easy. When we think of bread for life and think that it's our Christ, oh man, there's so many things that get in the way of that reality. We confuse other things with our safety and our salvation. All the things we seek and cling to, our families, our photographs of happier days, our routines, these are not the things that feed our souls. The short-term seductions, promises of the right car or the right perfume or the right detergent or the right school or the right weight loss program, these things are not the bread of life. Even good causes can be confusing. Give to the trees, give to the police fund, give to AIDS research, give to the local theater, give to the food bank. Pick up your children and care for your grandfather. All excellent causes, but no guarantees of an experience of the presence of God. No guarantees. No direct route to the gift of fulfillment and joy. Remember that Jesus is the bread of life means acknowledging that all of these other things are not the bread of life. I once read a story of a time at the end of the Second World War in Russia where the defeated German army was to be marched through the streets of Moscow on their way out from the country. The streets were lined that day mostly with women who came to see this humanity that had caused such pain in their lives, that were responsible for the loss of hundreds and thousands of husbands and sons. And as those German soldiers were marched through the streets, the jeering crowds became strangely quiet. For what they saw were not the powerful, arrogant soldiers that they had envisioned, but rather young boys, some with barely any boots left on their feet, uniforms tattered and torn, faces showing fatigue of battle and eyes that spoke of their own inward pain. And as these soldiers marched and as the sound of shuffling feet became more and more audible, suddenly one of the Russian women broke from the ranks of the crowd and held out a piece of black Russian bread to one of the passing boys. And as his dirty, shaking hand reached for the bread, his face looking into her eyes as she offered some compassion to her boy. As this happened, soon women from all sections of the crowd began to come forward with offerings of bread. A sign of life in the midst of defeat, of light in the darkness of the moment. The bread lasted maybe 5 minutes. The gift lasted a lifetime. The same gift that Jesus offers. The same gift that creates community and brings forth forgiveness in the hope that it will transform the lives that it touches. In this sacrament, in the sacrament presented to us, the gathered ones, God invites us to be the people of God together, joining in a unique openness to take the bread of health and life and drink the cup of mercy and joy and be grateful. God invites us to feel the presence of God, the mystery of God, to be here now, not think of anything else, just to come. Just to come, ready to be of the mind of Jesus Christ and ready to live as he taught us. May it be so. May it be so. Amen.
Please pray with me. Amazing God, we are in awe of your magnificent creation, the sweetness of summer fruit, the vivid colors of an evening sky, the wonder of the human brain, the power of rushing water. Open our eyes and hearts to see your kingdom in our midst. We are grateful for your presence in our lives through prayer and insight, through loving relationships, through inspiration and action. Direct our thoughts, words, and deeds so they will reflect that presence to others. As the Olympic Games continue in London, we are inspired by the courage, determination, strength, and talent of those who compete, no matter what country they represent. Please protect and sustain the athletes, their families, and coaches as they strive to do their best in their respective sport. At the same time, we are reminded that some in those athletes' countries face poverty, unemployment, crime, war, and disease. Help them surmount their fears and despair as the athletes who represent them do the same. In particular, we pray for the people of Syria that their leaders would stop the senseless killing and restore peace through an orderly transition to democracy. We pray for those in Spain, Greece, Italy, and Ireland who are without work or shelter or money, while their governments seek to keep their economy solvent and avoid financial disaster. Endue the leaders of our own government at the national, state, and local levels with wisdom and humility. May their decisions and actions be guided by the highest ethical standards and empathy for those whom they lead. We pray for your intervention and support to those who face drought and unrelenting heat, which are plaguing much of our country. Bring relief and comfort to farmers and ranchers, their crops and livestock. We pray for all in our midst who struggle, whether they face foreclosures on their homes or mounting debt, are without jobs, face serious illness, deal with substance abuse, or are in destructive relationships. Renew their hope in you and guide them to recovery and wholeness. Redeemer God, you are the bread of life. Anchor us in faith and belief in your saving power. Bind us to you and to each other in love and patience. Transform our shallow self-centeredness into a deep commitment to an infectious joy in serving others with gentleness and humility. Help us to serve with genuine compassion and kindness so that those whom we serve would be drawn to you. We lift up to you, aloud or in silence, the names of those with joys or concerns upon whom we ask for your special blessing. We pray for our prayer partners this week, Steve Johnson, Dan Jornstad and Bob Herman, Christina Juhan, Cynthia Kang, Craig Keeney, Jean Kirkwood, Marnie Krozek, Britt Legata, Robert and Stephen, Ode First Neighbors and Visitors, the Doris Cross Senior Center, the Welcome Center, and the residents and supporters of Nicolet Square Supportive Housing in Minneapolis. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.